welcome to Keldabe Talk Radio, the official podcast of the Mandalorian Mercs. We're a costume organization dedicated to charity efforts around the globe, attending events in Mandalorian armor we've built by hand. Here on the show, we'll keep you up to date with the latest fan community news. Visit our website at www.mandalorianmercs.com.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of Keldabe Talk Radio. I'm your host, Thaxos, and with me tonight is Crow.
Hey.
Frost.
Yo.
And joining us as a special guest is Soren Diederich, all the way from Japan.
Konnichiwa.
On tonight's episode, we don't have too much Mercs news. Seems to be a bit more of a slow month now that everyone's, or a lot of people are back at school and whatnot, so no news there. However, some Star Wars news is that there's been a bit more information released about Star Wars Rebels, which was released at New York City's Comic-Con. Wait, you guys haven't heard anything?
Other than that it was announced, no.
Oh, okay.
currently in the public eye, anyway, there seems to be some sort of debate about the Inquisitor character and what his origins are and whether or not it gels with the currently established backstory for characters, for Force users in the Old Republic / Dark Times era. There's a lot of people who are questioning whether or not it's wise to have a non-Darth Vader character running around slaughtering Jedi.
When everybody else is saying, yeah, that would probably have to be the case.
Yeah. Well, and there's mixed opinion on it. Some people are citing it as Disney destroying the franchise, and other people are citing it as, you know, reasonable, seeing as one guy going around trying to kill off, like, 6,000 Jedi or something. There's a stated number somewhere, but it's like 6,000, 10,000 total Jedi. And even if the clones killed 90% of them, that's still one guy fighting, like, 200 people and winning.
Yeah.
While still leading the armed forces of the Empire. Yeah.
And someone's always going to scream, Disney's ruining Star Wars. Because, quite frankly, you can't make everybody happy.
Yeah. Right.
But, reasonably speaking, it seems fine. And I mean, even with the fact that they've made it now so that, like, there's about 15 Jedi who survived the Purge as opposed to two. It still would... Reason would say that to kill 185 out of 200 Jedi, you would need more than one person. So,
yeah.
I mean, it's not beyond reasonable doubt to believe that there would be more than one person. Actually, we know there was more than one person because of Jarek, the Dark Jedi from the Dark Forces series, who was known for killing other Jedi, and him and his seven Dark Jedi apprentice-y type thingies.
Like,
were all
killing people. Were they Pick and Gork? I think they were the two Yoda-like guys.
Pick and Gork, and then there was the other guy who, the one with the face, like, he's got a really messed up face. I think he's a Weequay, who helped Mace Windu develop the pod, which is the Sarlacc lightsaber form. And that, supposedly, he, like, went nuts and did all this other stupid crap. But basically, yeah, we already know that there are Dark Jedi who served the Emperor in this time period, who defected or who were corrupted, or who saw the other Jedi getting offed and decided they were going to go and try and fight for the winning team. And I suspect that the Inquisitor is going to be something like that.
One of the other things to consider is that, like in the Clone Wars, they kind of hinted at how Ventress, sure, she's a Dark Jedi, but she's not actually a Sith. Might be the same kind of instance with this Inquisitor character.
Well, yeah, that's what I meant, is that a fallen... There is a distinction between Sith and Dark Jedi. The fact that Anakin Skywalker happens to be both is the reason there's so much confusion about the issue. Like, a Dark Jedi is just somebody who was trained as a Jedi who is then also now using the dark side and usually evil, whereas a Sith is somebody who is a part of the Sith hierarchy, has been trained in all of the Sith, this, that, and the other, and uses a red lightsaber. Which is a Sith alchemy thing. Not to say Dark Jedi can't do that too, because there are dead Sith everywhere you can loot from or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. There are even Jedi who later in the EU and stuff use red sabers too.
Mm-hmm.
Well, just because they happen to be red.
Yeah, or because they had to make a lightsaber crystal. And when that was the whole thing about that, is that red lightsaber crystals don't form naturally. They're artificially created.
Yeah.
And the thing is, you can create them anywhere. So if you were on a planet, your lightsaber gets blowed up, and you have enough time to make another one, but they don't have lightsaber crystals there, but you know how to make them, you're going to be running around with a red lightsaber. That doesn't mean you're a bad guy.
That's true. Some of the other stuff we've heard about these upcoming Star Wars Rebels, we've found out that there's a website for the Cyanar Fleet Systems. That's the in-universe company that creates the TIE Fighters and other vessels. And if you go to cyanarfleetsystems.com, it's got a
some pretty sweet propaganda art.
Yep. Yeah, it's the
viral marketing campaign.
Yeah, so, but other than that, though, there's nothing really on that page. Just the support your empire, build TIE Fighters, the latest in defense against threats to peace, which does tie into the story of Rebels, which is now being stated that it will be set approximately 5 years before the Battle of Yavin. So basically in the time span between Revenge of the Sith and A New Hope.
Which is pretty cool.
Yeah. Yep. To that, though, it will be interesting to see, since there were some rumors about the TV show tying in and leading up to the full-fledged movies, as to where the full-fledged movies are actually going to take place.
The new movies?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Additionally, isn't Dave Filoni involved? I remember seeing an interview
with...
He's one of the three executive producers listed for Star Wars Rebels.
Yeah.
It's Dave Filoni, Greg Wiseman, and Simon Kinberg.
So for those of you who like Clone Wars, that's good news.
Yes.
Yeah.
Additionally speaking, it's good news for the Mercs as a whole, too, because Dave Filoni has a very good relationship with the Mercs.
Yes, that's true. And additionally, there was some news regarding the Clone Wars series. They were actually going to take kind of the last season that they hadn't quite released yet, compile it into some form of a release, and then that'll be aired sometimes in the soonish future. It's not been stated exactly when, but there should be some form of a quasi-conclusion.
They did just release... they did just release that on Blu-ray and DVD, so it's probably sometime next year would be my guess.
Yeah, there will be some sort of conclusion. Definitely not what probably was ideally envisioned by the group, but
no.
at least it'll be something more than just a hey and it stops.
Yeah. Some finality at least.
Yeah. The only other information we really have is that the 1 hour special will premiere in fall of 2014 for Rebels. It's going to, where is this? Sorry, I've lost my place.
I assume that it will not be theater released then if it's only an hour.
Hmm?
When they released Clone Wars, they did Clone Wars as a theater release.
No, it doesn't look like it will be there.
Yeah, that was my guess.
It would be kind of neat, but I don't think they're aiming for that this time.
Yeah. Additionally, something else we do know is that it's going to be shown on a Disney-exclusive channel. I don't remember the exact name. It's like Disney DX or something.
XD.
XD, thank you.
It's
their Cartoon
special.
Network.
Yeah, the one-hour special will just be on the Disney channel, then it will move to the Disney XD
channel,
whatever that is.
Which means you will be able to probably get it on Netflix within the year.
I get none of the above.
Yeah.
Yes, I don't get that channel either, so I will be resorting to finding it online.
Yes.
Legally, of course.
Completely.
Yes.
We at the Mandalorian Mercs do not support any form of internet piracy. Nor at KTR.
Exactly.
Mostly.
The interesting part is there's been a little snippet for the premise of the show, which says, it is a dark time in the galaxy as the evil Galactic Empire tightens its grip of power from the world to world, from world to world. As the series begins, Imperial forces have occupied a remote planet, ruling with an iron fist and ruining the lives of its people. But there are a select few who are brave enough to stand up against the endless stormtroopers and TIE fighters of the Empire, the clever and motley crew of the starship Ghost. Together, this ragtag group will face threatening new villains, have thrilling adventures, and become heroes. So what it sounds like is it probably will feature some other people in the Rebel Alliance, but not the actual face characters from the original trilogy.
which is actually quite interesting, because five years before the Battle of Yavin, Han Solo, I believe, was also still in the Imperial Academy.
Yeah, I'm really hoping it ties in with that somehow, him being in the Academy or him having just left it.
Well, they keep talking about TIE fighters, so...
Yeah, that does seem to be quite a big focus.
Hopefully they'll get into characters from the X-Wing series. As first of all, that would be awesome.
Right.
And second of all, it would be setting appropriate.
Definitely. Apart from that, there's some concept art that's been released, and, you know, as typically, lots of speculation.
And now this edition of Merc's Responses featuring Tobias Creed.
Hello, Mandalorian Mercs. It was unfortunate that I could not attend this recording of Keldavi Talk Radio due to internet issues. So I come to you from the magic land of post-production. In the lounge, I, of course, asked a question for anybody to answer, and I'll read it right here on the show. The question is, what's your favorite troop? I wanted a story. I didn't want celebration. It was great. I wanted details. I wanted something more to it. I told in my post that my favorite troop was the Jeremy Bullock autograph signing here in Iowa. We start first with Nambi. Nambi went to a pre-flight party for Dreamflight with the members of the UK clan. Dreamflight takes disabled and terminally ill children on a once-in-a-lifetime holiday. There was one kid in particular. The kid was a burn victim. When they approached the kid, her face lit up when she saw them, and she had the most amazing smile, and she was so excited to see them. It was a really special event. Another person who responded to the post was Rabbit. Rabbit's favorite troop is Springtime Tallahassee. This was a very big first, personally, and for the BVC as well. It was one of the first big troops to take place in Northwest Florida. Also, it was the first joint troop in at least 3 to 4 years with the 501st Legion. It was also a challenging troop physically, because walking from the Capitol to Monroe Street is an uphill battle. After the troop, they ended the day with an early dinner at Miller's Ale House, where they all sat around and bonded. It was a fantastic day, a positive day, a day with much-needed camaraderie and cooperation. Not just with other official Mercs and forum members, but with the 501st Legion and the Rebel Legion.
Moving on from that, where exactly are you at in Japan, Travis?
All right. I am stationed at Yokota Air Base, which is in a town called Fusa, which is in a bigger prefecture of Fusa-shi, which is in Tokyo.
It's a Tokyo, okay.
Are you in, like, South Tokyo or North Tokyo?
Right. Tokyo is huge, technically.
Technically, everyone pretty much lives in Tokyo.
Because
Tokyo is also, Tokyo is like New York, alright? And then Tokyo City is like New York City. So I'm living in Tokyo, because like there is no end, there is no break. Like, the mountains is where I finally see like forest and trees. Everywhere else, it's just continuous city pretty much. There's one spot in Japan called the Kanto Plains. And that's, like, pretty much the only big, flat area of Japan. And that's where everyone is. That's where, like, 90% of Japan's population is. And they're all in Tokyo.
And I'll give you guys one guess what the Kanto region of Pokemon is named after.
That's named after Okinawa.
There you go.
It's actually pretty cool, because I am maybe about only an hour train ride away from downtown Tokyo. I've been able to see the Tokyo Tower, big sight, lots of shrines everywhere. That's one of the things that's really cool about Japan, is they mix a lot of the old and the new. They got Buddhist and Shinto shrines just tucked away everywhere here. They have farmland tucked away in between everything here. You'll see, like, skyscraper, skyscraper, short building, farmland, skyscraper, and you're just like, huh. You know, you weren't really expecting that. Like, yeah, I got big tower and buildings everywhere around base, and then at, like, the north end of the base, no, we got farmland. Just chilling there. And then on the other side
that's
of that, more tall buildings.
So it's kind of like Houston, there's no real zoning.
Yeah, it's just kind of everywhere.
So you're probably one of our more, or probably our most predominantly known Mandalorian that's kind of overseas or out in one of the more remote areas in terms of Merc density. How's that been like for you so far?
It's been kind of lonely, because know, you want to go out and troop, and you're the only one out there, so I've resorted to recruiting. I actually got my supervision to help me out with that in my shop. He found somebody he worked with because I work in fuel, so we do everything that has anything to do with jet fuel to car fuel to everything. Completely in charge of all that. And
yeah.
I'm not, but my shop is. But he got in contact with a guy who had just retired out of the Navy, who was apparently talking about doing a Boba Fett and Stormtroopers with his sons. So I got in contact with them, and turned out they had gotten the Ruby's costumes, which made me cringe. But I'm like, I'll do what I can to try and help you make them look better. We actually ended up redoing all of his plates for his Boba and repainting all the helmet and everything. We got it looking better. It's still, you know, it's not up the CRL standards yet, but we got it looking better.
That's good.
Which was a good improvement. And then I also had another friend, again Navy. I'm Air Force, but I'm like everyone I'm recruiting is Navy. I don't understand it.
The Mercs actually have a lot of Navy folks too. It's just the thing here.
I don't know, but I'm stationed on an Air Force base, and I'm just getting all these blueberry uniforms. You're like, hey, one of the stores up. What's going on here? Anyway, so I started working with him, and we kind of put together a quick kit that honestly is horrible. And I let him borrow my helmet, and he mimicked my paint scheme, so he wouldn't have to repaint my helmet. And all five of us went, and we actually volunteered at a Special Olympics and went around just having a good time, bringing smiles to kids and everything. Actually ended up making the news for our base and hitting it up on the web page and got a short story on it. And
that's awesome.
So that was actually really cool. And that was pretty much my first event. And I've been trying to work with these other people and get their costumes rolling. But the gentleman, his name is John Lucas. He's the guy I got introduced to, so that was like, John Lucas? You mean George Lucas? No, John Lucas. All right.
Not the estranged cousin of George?
This guy is a Star Wars fan through and through. He managed to get a hold of a Star Wars like slot machine, because the Japanese are about some slot machines, all right? You go to an arcade? No, you went to a slot machine arcade. I thought I was going to go play video games. No, their arcades are all like, put money in, try and get money back. But he managed to get a hold of a Star Wars slot machine, and it's really cool. He's got it set up in his living room, and I got to play around with it, and it was pretty cool. It's got themes from all six movies up there, so it was pretty cool.
That sounds pretty awesome.
But my buddy, who I was also helping make Mandalorian Merc armor, the biggest problem is that nobody here has a sewing machine, so we can't work on any of the soft parts. So we're literally just trying to tape and glue stuff down onto a T-shirt for him, and it's not flying. So it was his plates are constantly falling off.
No sticky backed Velcro.
Tried that; it's all coming off.
Jeez.
So he is going to be moving to Seattle eventually, so I've gotten him to get in contact with the clan over there, and so he's been talking with them and trying to make sure that he knows what he's going to be doing. I think he's been talking with a couple of different people about getting his own bucket, but I'm currently working night shifts, so I haven't been able to actually hang out with him lately. But
Right. And
got a couple of other friends that I'm helping them with armor, but not Merc armor. I got one guy who wants to make Iron Man armor and Mass Effect armor, so I've been helping him out with that. He's actually currently got my heat gun. And then
very cool.
I got another friend who is working on PlanetSide 2, I think it is, PlanetSide 2 armor. So I started helping him out with that. So
that'll be cool.
There's plenty of people here who are interested in making armor. It's just finding the time to sit down and work with them.
Yeah. Have you had any run-ins with the Japanese garrison for the 501st Legion over there?
I have not. I really haven't figured out what I could do to try and get in contact with them.
Okay. I just remembered I ended up with one of their challenge coins through meeting one of them who'd come over from Japan for Dragon Con 1 year.
Yes.
And we ended up trading coins, and of course I've not really kept in touch much, but I thought, hey, maybe you keep running into them.
Well,
or maybe they're some small group. I don't know how many there are over there.
I figure there's probably a lot because I'm in Japan, all of my YouTube commercials are in Japanese. And you wouldn't believe how many Style Wars commercials there are, particularly for, like, cars. They got, like, an entire squad of stormtroopers marching through Tokyo for one of their commercials for, like, the Nissan Juke or something.
Oh, seriously?
Seriously. Like, they got Darth Vader sending them on a mission to scout out this planet, and they're just going through Japan, just looking at everything, and then they find the Juke, and, like, it's kind of cool. Like, I kind of want to see if I can find this video and maybe, you know, post it to you guys so, like, people can see this video and be like, oh, look at that.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, we can put it up in the thread.
So that'd be pretty cool. I'll find that video for you guys. So that way I can actually, anyone can see that. So I'm fairly certain that, you know, they got a strong presence here because the Japanese do love them some Star Wars. I've gone to plenty of shops and I've seen statues of, like, Darth Vader chilling in the background. You know, figurines of, like, Boba Fett and everything. And, yeah, so it's just kind of like, there are definitely a lot of Star Wars fans here. I even found in one of those hard-off shops I was talking about earlier, a life-size Captain Rex statue for sale.
Wow.
So, I'm fairly certain the 501st has got a strong presence over here. I just honestly didn't even think about getting in contact with them, so I kind of feel stupid for not doing that.
Well, now you can. Now you can get in contact with them, and that is. Hopefully, anyways.
Yep. But, so that's kind of what I've been doing for recruitment and stuff. Other events that I've done, it's kind of hard to figure out which events are going on and which ones I can attend.
Okay.
But my first official event that I did was the Tokyo Anime Fair.
Mm-hmm.
And it was interesting and really different, because the only conventions that I've been to have pretty much been, like, Animazement, Con Carolinas, and Dragon Con. Like, that's largely it. A couple others.
And that's a pretty wide range of cons. Con Carolinas compared to Dragon Con, that's a huge leap.
Right. But even through all of those different cons, the Tokyo Anime Fair wasn't anything like what I was expecting. I had to pay in order to cosplay and register, whereas if I had just gone by myself, like, as nobody, I wouldn't have to. And, like, they had this whole boxed-in area with, like, walls and everything, and that's where the cosplayers had to be. And, like, it was, like, you couldn't walk around and go see other booths and everything. Like, it was just white walls, and people had, like, different sections, and that's where they stood and did their cosplay stuff.
So that's not a cosplay contest. That's just if you want to be at the con while you're in costume.
Yeah. However,
that is.
They did. I did get to have a 360 taken, of my kit, and that was actually pretty cool. And they did that for free. And that's the link to that.
There we go. Yeah, we'll put that up in the thread once we can get this podcast posted.
Yep. So, I've done some more work to my armor, so that's not quite what it looks like now. I've actually got a rangefinder up there now. But I'm actually... the other event that I did was the Tokyo Game Show. And that was a bit more interesting. That was a lot bigger. That didn't actually have, like, a specific cosplay area where you were required to be at. You could walk around, and a lot of people thought I was actually paid to be there because, like, they hadn't seen a costume like that ever before, and nor of that quality. So, a lot of people, like, legitimately thought I was a paid professional and wondering where my booth was for the game I was representing. So, that was...
Star Wars 1313?
I wish. Ah, that game needs to be released. Or finished.
Oh, does it ever? Yeah.
But, and so I went around, and they didn't actually let me take my rifle in because it was too big. They didn't let large props in, but they let me take my pistol and my fake knife. So I kind of felt naked without my big blaster rifle. But I made it work.
Yeah, but you got plenty on those gauntlets of yours.
Yeah, I got plenty on the gauntlets, that's right. what ended up happening was I was pulling an all-nighter because I'd been up the entire previous night redoing all of the Velcro on my chest because just over 3 years, all the Velcro had, like, melted and nothing was staying in place. I really need to upgrade the snaps, I'm not going to lie. But
just as an aside, real quick, Travis, my suggestion is that you probably want to half upgrade to snaps, as just snaps will not be able to hold the weight of the plates if they get caught on anything, whereas mm-hmm. Velcro is real good about that. So my suggestion is to put snaps in the corners and then put Velcro in the middle.
Yeah. That'll work.
Yeah, because as a person who just recently upgraded to only snaps, I fully regret it, and I'm going to be upgrading to a system of snaps and Velcro.
All right, good to know.
There you go.
But, so what ended up happening is, like, I had to strip all of that down. I used a lot of Gooby Gone to get all the Velcro gunk off of my vest. And it looks a lot better now. It looks like it's supposed to be instead of, like, glue everywhere. And, but I had stayed up the entire night doing that. Then I went to Troop at the Tokyo Game Show, and I was going on to a 12-hour shift as soon as I got back from the Tokyo Game Show. So it was going to be a very, very, very long day. Or a long 2 days. So I was kind of getting tired already after only about maybe an hour or two in armor. And I decided, you know what, it's time for me to go find my gun. I'm going to go take a nap on the bus. So I, with what little broken Japanese I remember from college, I go up with my ticket to go to the tent to get my rifle, and they keep pointing me to, like, this other building over here. And so, like, I go through this other building, and I found out, whoa, Tokyo Game Show's twice as big as what I thought. There's an entirely another room. And so, like, I kind of poke around. I'm like, well, I don't know where the exit is still. The exit is not intuitive here. There's... and so, like, I find a different person, and they point me to a different building, and I go across this bridge. I'm like, I don't remember a bridge here, and I go to a completely different building. No, Tokyo Game Show is 3 times as large as I thought it was going to be.
Oh, jeez.
And that's where all the cosplayers were at. Like, that's where all the people who went to go and just cosplay and have fun was at. So suddenly I was like, oh, here's my crowd. People don't think I'm being paid to be here anymore. No wonder why people thought I was being paid to be here. I was in the wrong building. But still, like... they had, like, this game show interview, people waiting in line to be, you know, put on TV and everything, and I was like, you know what, I should do that. And then, like, but then I was like, no, they're asking them a lot of questions, and they're all answering in Japanese, and if I go up there and I'm just like, hey, and I take off my helmet and be like, I have no idea what to say to you people. So I just kind of sat back and watched and tried to take a couple of pictures. And
sounds like a pretty crazy event.
But what I had done, I know it's not exactly... like, standard for Mandalorian mercs and or canon, but I ended up putting Velcro on the back of my iPhone case and slapping my phone onto my gauntlets, so that way I could get access to it easy for talking with people on the bus and everything.
Hmm.
And I had all of my ringtone, for the longest time, I've had all my ringtones set to RTD2. And I had told my friend that I was heading back to the bus so I could take a nap, and he was going to meet me there. And I'd been lost for 2 hours trying to find my way out of this game show. Yeah, so he's constantly sending me texts and calls. So R2-D2 was beeping like a furious, you know, droid on my wrist. And everyone's like, oh, that's so cool. And I'm just sitting here going, like, my buddy is really upset with me.
That's funny.
So, like, I was doing my best and typing on my wrist, trying to tell him, hey, look, I'm trying to find my way out. And I eventually, like... It took me, I think, 3 or 4 hours to find my way out of there because it was just that large and I had no idea where anything was. And the trick was, actually, apparently, in order to, like, there were emergency exits, like, if you needed to get out, you could, but that wasn't, like, the way out. In order to get out, you had to go up, which was counterintuitive. But you had to go, like,
up
to the second floor, out and over, like, where the crowd that was waiting was at. So I was like, oh, no wonder why I couldn't find the exit. I'm looking to go out of a door somewhere on the first floor. But all of the doors on the first floor, they, like, Japan loves to smoke. So they had, like, all of that taped off so no one can actually leave or enter through the first floor. That's just, like, you go out the doors and you go to smoke. So, like, you had to go up and over in order to actually get out.
So when you did find your that cosplay group section in the one building, were there a lot of Star Wars customers, or was it mostly...
I don't actually recall seeing Star Wars customers very much. I remember seeing Final Fantasy customers and a lot of anime customers.
Okay, so it's not like you found a Stormtrooper or two, formed a little group?
I wish I had, but I didn't. I did find Batman, though.
There you go.
I got into, like, a brawl, an epic brawl with Batman, and I think I had a picture of that I posted on my Facebook.
Nice.
But, so that was about it for iconic characters, because I felt really bad towards the end, because it was actually getting time for me to leave, and I had to hop on the bus in order to get back to base. And, like, people were like, hey, can you stop and, you know, take a picture? And I'm sorry, I gotta go. And I was hoping that they could understand English or broken Japanese, because... Like, you know how it is. Like, people want to stop and take pictures, but at the same time, you don't want the bus to leave you.
Yeah.
So, if I had found the anime or the cosplay area sooner rather than later, I might have actually gotten the chance to find other Star Wars costumers and met up with them. But, I know a little bit more for next time, and maybe I can hit the Tokyo Game Show again next year. And,
did you notice any other costuming groups having tables or booths there? Because I know sometimes the 501st will have a booth at those kinds of events.
Yeah, they might. The cosplay area was the only one that was actually lit up. All the rest of the buildings were darkened, so that way people would see, like, the screens and trying out all the different games and everything.
Oh, okay.
So, any and all pictures and anything from, like, the first two buildings that I was in, all those booths were completely devoted to games. The actual cosplay area, I don't know. I didn't honestly get a chance to explore it nearly as much as I wish I had, because I was kind of tired and cranky and looking for my gun, and I was hungry and I hadn't found any food yet. So, that's just kind of like one of those things where it's like, all right, take a mental note of this, come back next year, make sure you go to this building first and explore this one.
Sounds like you'll definitely have a lot of fun at the next one, then.
Absolutely.
Hopefully you'll have some more Mandos to back you up, too.
That would be pretty cool. So hopefully I'll get some other people fully built with good kits. And, I don't know, maybe some other members, as the Mercs continue to grow exponentially, will end up stationed over here.
Definitely. Sounds awesome.
But I have to say, probably the toughest thing to deal with, and I'm sure some of the guys who are mercs who are, you know, still in college can understand this, living in a dorm trying to work on armor and deal with things. Because what had ended up happening, which is something I'm currently working on right now, is going on to 2 12-hour shifts right after the Tokyo Game Show. I just kind of threw all of my armor into a bin, threw it under my bed, and forgot about it. So now I'm cleaning it and soaking it in vinegar water, getting the mold off of it, because, oops, I didn't have anywhere to throw it out and dry it out. So I've currently got all of my armor soaking in bins in my shower, which wasn't a problem because I didn't have a roommate in my room that was conjoined in it. So I'm like, all right, you know, I haven't had a roommate for like a month or two. I probably won't have another roommate for... a couple of months. I'll just completely take up the bathroom and make it smell like vinegar, and that's the day. Like, the door opens up and everything, and he's like, what's this? I'm like, oh, hold on a second, I'm sorry, I'm working on my armor over here. So, that is something I'm sure a lot of our mercs who are still, like, in college are dealing with, and it's doable. Just make sure, don't forget about your armor, take care of it. You need to make sure that you clean it after you get done for the con, because if not, your black gloves turn yellow, and you're like, huh, that's not supposed to be that color.
Yeah, probably not.
Yeah, I've lucked out. I've had some very accommodating roommates since I started this.
Including your wife.
Well, yeah. So accommodating, she joined up too.
I actually don't have to share my room. I just have to share the bathroom. But the room isn't very big. It's not like I can really do much in here. I usually try and take whatever I have out to the picnic table in front of the dorms and do work. And I was grinding some slits into my thighs so that way I could put some straps up there. Because I've had problems with my thighs constantly falling off no matter what I do, or the glue popping off the back of them. So I said, you know what? I'm just going to cut some slits into it and throw Velcro through there. And it worked. And but in the process of doing this and throwing sparks everywhere and wearing my, you know, glasses and my gloves and everything, security forces decided to pull up behind me to see what's going on. And and so they sent one guy up, and I'm fairly certain I didn't really turn around to look, because once I noticed a guy walking up to me and battle rattle with his M4 across his chest up to me, I'm just like, I'm just going to stop what I'm doing and try and explain myself a little bit and pull out my phone and show pictures of myself in armor and hope that the other guy who's probably aiming his gun at me on the other side of that truck isn't going to shoot. Because we were already kind of iffy, because a couple of days before this, we had an incident at one of the gates. We either had a dry ice bomb go off outside of the gate or an 18-wheeler blow a tire. We weren't sure which, but probably an 18-wheeler. Regardless, it kind of set the base on the high alert, so, like, all of, like, security forces who normally don't do anything is like, oh, there's something to do? And then they see this guy with sparks flying, they're like, oh, did you make the bomb? Can I do something? And so, I was just like, no, I'm not making a bomb, I'm a Star Wars fan, I'm making armor.
Did they, seem to not mind too much once you explained it, or are they kind of still checking in on you?
Once I explained it, they were perfectly fine with it, and they didn't worry about it.
You don't have to call ahead and clear it with anyone each time you want to go work on things anymore?
No. Well, normally, like, they actually have a workshop where I could go and do work in, but, again, I am a patron of the night over here, working nights all the time. So on my days off, I'm awake at night, so that's when I do my work. So, and...
Yeah, I can see why middle of the night someone sending sparks flying on some metal object would be a bit disconcerting.
I don't blame them a bit whatsoever. I'm just, you know, glad they didn't decide to tase me. That would have been really
strange.
They apparently like to do that.
Well, it certainly makes for a good tale.
Oh, absolutely. But so that's more or less kind of where things are at. I'm working on doing repairs of my armor and cleaning it currently because, yeah, I kind of forgot to do that. But other than that, I don't know of any events coming up in Japan. I'm doing my best to try and keep an eye out for them, and you know, doing my best to anyone who wants to start working armor, helping them. I kind of have to be careful because a lot of people are just like, hey, can you build me armor? And I'm like, no, I can't, but I can help you start your own.
So, yeah. Got to distinguish between those that just want it done for them and those that actually want to do it.
And that's also a typical noob mistake is, well, I can just buy armor and then I'll be good to go. Well, you see, when it starts falling apart in 3 years, because that's how that works,
you're going to need to know something.
What is interesting is my captain actually wants to commission me for some armor. I'm alright with that, but again, a workshop is usually very beneficial, so I told him, I can't guarantee you anything, but if I can, I will. And so I think that would be pretty cool. Because I'm not going to lie, I would love to actually build and operate and open my own prop shop, but, you know, living in a dorm, that's not really feasible.
Perhaps at a later date, though.
Perhaps at a later date.
Well, awesome. Thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me.
Definitely good hearing from you. And that's all the time we have for this episode of Killed All by Talk Radio. Join us next time.
Woo!
And do Woo! Something.
Yeah.
Totally forgot how I was going to end that.
This has been a production of the Mandalorian Mercs Costume Club. If you'd like to learn more about the topics discussed on today's show, please visit www.mandalorianmercs.com. The Mandalorian Mercs is a worldwide Star Wars costuming organization comprised of and operated by Star Wars fans. Star Wars, its characters, costumes, and all associated items are intellectual property of Lucasfilm. Copyright 2009 Lucasfilm Limited. We hope you enjoyed our show, and we'd love to hear your feedback. Please email podcast@mercs.firespray.net. Until next time, happy hunting.